the book of Philippians, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. We're going to read quickly. We're going to just read the whole chapter real quick and then give some bullet points and then try to get you in and out. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the days of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have in you my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is not my record, I'm sorry, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of the righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation in that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in. This is a message that Paul writes. And so the message I want to focus in on, a word of encouragement. This was a message that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And just give you a little history, what's taking place here is that Paul is writing this while he is in prison. And he's saying all these great things about the local church body that's there in Philippi to encourage their hearts, to let them know that your role and your responsibility is to contend for the faith. And I want you to know that I'm here with you. So basically what Paul was doing is, while he was in prison, was being a cheerleader. He was saying, listen, you can do this. And even though perhaps maybe I'm not here now, but my desire is to still be with you. And I may not make it all the way, but I know this, that you can do it. Paul here is expressing along with Timothy. Now, Timothy was not the author of this letter, but he was also just acknowledging that Timothy is a fellow laborer in the gospel. But I like how it began. The first thing he identifies is that in verse 1, he says, to the saints of God and Christ. And then afterwards, he talks about, and to the bishops. Right? So what he says right here is, the first thing I want to acknowledge is, I want to acknowledge the believers. I want to acknowledge those warriors that have gone through persecutions and drew the line in the sand and says, you know what, I'm still going to serve God. And I want to acknowledge you first, and then afterwards, let me just say an ode to the bishops and to the deacons. Basically, what he's saying is, the first thing I want to acknowledge are those individuals that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, to let those people with titles know that you come second to the ministry. In other words, listen, don't get it twisted. The ministry does not make you. You are obligated to help to support the ministry, but the ministry does not support you. Now, this is significant because what he wanted to do was to convey a message that don't get a big head because you have a title. Because I need you to understand that your job is to be a servant first. And without the ministry of Christ, you have no ministry. So then he goes on and talks about it. He says that I want you to fulfill my joy. I need you to fulfill this thing, because how can you fulfill something if it's absent? So he says, you've got joy. You have it already inside of you. But you can only have it if you recognize that you are a saint. Now, let me just take a poll real quick and just ask the question, how many saints do I have in the house? Now, you would say, well, you know what? I got some things going on in my life that I don't know if I'm a saint. But I promise you that there are some people that have some things going on in their life. And that didn't disqualify them from being a saint. But so he says, listen, this is for the body. It's impossible for you to embrace the joy that God has for you without first embracing the fact that you are a saint. So therefore, you are sanctified by the blood. And because you are sanctified by the blood, you need to walk in the authority that God has given you. God has given every one of you the authority of a saint. And because you have the authority of a saint, that there shouldn't be an ain't in you. So in other words, that if I'm a saint, therefore I have the authority to do some things and to speak some things into the atmosphere and trust God that it is going to come to pass. The other thing I like about the fact is, as far as he talks about the grace and the mercy of God, and he says not only that, but also of the grace of Jesus Christ. He gives them a double portion of blessings. A double portion of blessings. So we have this thing that we carry with us in earthen vessels, a twofold, a 1-2 punch. We've got God on our side and we've got his son on our side. And because we have God on our side and his son on his side, by default, the Holy Spirit is in the equation. So there should be nothing that we can accomplish by those three entities that's working in our life, that triune body. This says, I got your back. And that's what Paul was saying. He's listen, I need you to understand that I am with you all the time. Now, let's fast forward this a little bit, because I want you to go over to verse 6. Now, here we see that he says this thing. He says, being confident of this very thing. What the thing? Because he's already bragging about the mercies of God and the power of God. And then he talks about the saints of God. And he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Look at someone says, God is beginning something in you. And because he has begun it, then guess what? He is obligated to finish it. God never starts what he can't finish. So everything that's working inside of you, it already has a completion date stamped on it also. So you are a work in progress and you are a work in process. So you are progressing through a process that will bring an expected end that's going to give God glory. So even the mess that you find yourself in, God says, I am factoring that in, because how many of you know that that is part of your testimony? You will never be able to experience deliverance unless you've been hooked up and locked down by something. Have you ever been in bondage? All right, let me just raise my own hand. That I have been in bondage to things before, and while I thought that I was serving God, and that's why I posted it on Facebook, because you can preach and you can teach and you can sing and you can dance and you can usher, but that does not necessarily mean that you have a relationship with God. It just means that you have done a good job freaking out how to fake it until you make it. You've just been simply doing a fraud. But God says, listen, you must understand that everything, even your failures, is part of the work that's in process that God is going to do. And guess what? He says, and he will complete it in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there is a performance that's taking place in your life. Look at someone says, I'm performing right now. So there's a performance that's taking place. You smile even though you're crying on the inside. It's a performance. You laugh when you really want to cry, but you have to understand, you get angry when you look like you want to break out. But God says, listen, all of that is part of the performance. And everything, and even to the things that people have stabbed you in the back and people have betrayed and lied on you, guess what? It's part of the process. Keep in mind, Paul is writing this in prison. And he is writing this to a people in the neighborhood that he got beat while he was in Philippi. Scourged, whipped. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be hard-pressed for me to say grace and mercy be it to you after just taking a beat down and being in prison in a place. But he says, listen, what I'm going through has nothing to do with the joy that I see inside of you. So we have to understand that we've got to get to a place where we can separate our friends from our foes. And so you can be in the same place. And even though while you're in the same place, you can have people that love on you and you love on them. And at the same place, the same location, you can have those people that hate on you. And he says that those people that are hating on you, you still have an obligation to speak joy over their lives. When was the last time you said God bless you to somebody that ticked you off? But it's necessary and it's part of the process. But he says, now let's move on. Let's go on. But he says that this that's in Christ Jesus until the day of Jesus Christ. Now we see that what God begins to do in our lives through what the apostle is saying is that there's some contention that's taking place. And we're going to fast forward it a little bit more, because Paul says this, listen, I've got a struggle that's going on in my spirit. I've got a struggle because I had an encounter with God. And if anyone that's in the audience, if you ever had a one-on-one with God, when you really had an experience with God, and he says, listen, I got a struggle right now. My struggle is not with sin, but my struggle is whether or not I still want to stay here. My struggle is do I want to stay here and help you, to motivate you, to encourage you, or is it that for me to just go and says, God, just take me now? Here I am in prison, cold, wet, damp place, and still being mistreated. And I can be in glory, enjoying the presence of God, and that's my struggle. Do I celebrate the glory of God and be absent from the body and present with the Lord? And he says, well, but I realize this, that you still need me. And I realize also that I need you. So can you just look at someone and say, you know what? If God takes me, I'm ready, but I'd rather stay here. Y'all not saying it. It's like, well, no, I ain't got that testimony, Pastor. I'm just, God take me, I'm ready. Just like, I holler. Like, I am out of here. But you have to understand that your work is not done here yet. The whole reason why you're still here is because God still is doing a work inside of you, and there's something else. There's just one more person that God wants to use you to witness to. Maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. Who knows? But guess what? There's still more that God has for you on this side of glory. And so because there's more that God has for you on this side of glory, you're stuck here. Good news, bad news. Good news is you saved, you love Jesus. Glory to God. Bad news is you woke up this morning, you still on this side. And so because you woke up this morning still on this side, you still got the same jokers that you got to deal with, and God is still teaching you how to bless them and not curse them. Right? So you look at their face. You say, God, just take me now. Just take me. Take me now. And God says, nope, I'm not going to do it. Speak a word over their lives. And so what we have to understand is that this word that God gave the apostle for the people was not for his sake, but it was for their sake. To let them know that there is a contention. There's a fight that you must do to earnestly contend for the faith, that God wants to do a great work inside of you, and God wants to use you for his glory. And because he desires to still use you, and because he is already doing a work in you, that work has not been completed yet. And here's the thing, that you may think that you're done. Have you ever thought that you were done with an assignment that God has given you only to find out that God says, but wait, there's more? You thought that you had finished that chapter. And you thought that you were done, and God says, wait a minute. It's kind of like when you tell your children to do the dishes and they still leave a pot on the stove that still needs to be washed. That one thing that you thought was done, and you go to find out, and it's just like God, he's inspecting things like, what's that? Oh, I was going to get to that, God. I was going to get to that. God says, get it now. And so God has a way of putting a to be continued when we say the end. Right? We say the end, and God says to be continued. Turn the page. But it's blank, God. It's blank now. But when I start writing on it about things that I have plans for your life, it's going to fill up real quick. And so the word that I want to just drop in your spirit, just like Paul that says, you know what? Stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. Keep loving each other. Keep loving God. And if you had a choice to do one or the other, I don't know if I can do both, but if you had a choice to do one or the other, God would say, love your brother. Love your brother, love your sister. Because if you do that, then you'll automatically love me. God, I don't know if I can love them like I love you. God says that I don't know how you can't love them like you love me. You don't have a choice in the matter. You don't get a vote. And I must admit that we all need help in learning how to love better. We all need help on even learning how to like better. Right? So because we need help of learning how to like better, we definitely need help of learning how to love better. It's like, I don't know if I'm ready to say I love you with the love of the Lord. I like you. I like you a lot. We cool. Because as I need you to work on that love part. I know they both have an L in it. I know they have an E in it at the end. But I need you to fill in the blanks and change those letters in between. Because when persecution comes, when trials come, when disappointment comes, there's one thing you must remember. He that hath begun a good work, not a bad work, not a messed up work, not a terrible work, not a half-done work, but a good work. There's a good work inside of all of you. There's a good work inside of all of you. And guess what? I'm greedy. I am so, let me just tell you, I am so greedy. I am greedy and I am selfish. This is Randy's confession. I am greedy and I am selfish because I want to see the good work that God is doing inside of you. And it is my prayer that I also get to glean from that good work. But don't worry, I don't mind sharing. But I just want to be part of the table. I want to be a part of the team. And so if you're the coach, and you're the coach of the team, and you have the team, I'm saying put me in the game, coach. Put me in. Put me on your team. Pick me. Because I want to see the good work that God is going to do in your lives. Because I want to celebrate it with you. I close with this testimony. We have, and many of you have saw on Facebook what God is doing over there in Africa with a couple of our members that's there, with Andre, Brother Corey, Andrew, I'm sorry, Brother Corey and Evangelist Shaniqua, and how she posted how God has established a Dare to Be Different over there also. And I'm saying, yes, yes. See, what we have to understand is that it doesn't have to be about Randy, and it doesn't have to be about Teresa. It has to be about the kingdom. And the good work that God does may cross borders, cross boundaries. But if you trust him enough, and you got to live right because he called you saints. You can't be a saint and a sinner too. So he says, saints of God. God is doing a work in you, saints. Be proud of the work and be proud of the process. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, but celebrate them. Celebrate your smackdowns. Celebrate your heartbreaks. Celebrate your disappointments. Celebrate when your enemy makes you mad, and celebrate even when your friends and loved ones and church members make you mad. Because just remember, there are cones all around you, orange cones and signs posted under construction. Under construction. And sometimes one lane may close up, and you may have to merge, and things may slow down in your life. But I promise you, in the end, it'll open back up, and you'll be able to flow smoothly until the next time that God needs to patch you back up again. Let us stand as we pray.